point where we're so puffed up that we become somebody better than God. We are not anybody better than God, may I remind you. We are not bigger than God. I talked this morning in my Sunday school class, and I'm not going to go all the way through it, but some of you missed it, but the Bible says in Psalm 8, you know, David, if you will, he was out there, and he was admiring God. That whole chapter talks primarily about how good and how great God is, and David, when he viewed the sun and the moon and the stars, he had to realize that he was small and God was big. He had to come to a point of realizing that it's not about himself, but it is all about Christ. In our story here, Nebuchadnezzar is king of Babylon. He built a great kingdom, built by a man, may I remind you. This king had it all. He had his throne. He had his palace. He was ruler. He was a mighty man. He ruled with a rod of iron. The Bible says that he even flourished. He had things, and he had all kinds of things about him, if you will. He had everything that a man could want. He had servants. He was served. And as far as man was concerned, he had it all, never wanting for anything, which brought the king, if you will, to a very prideful position. Actually, you might say that the king got a little bit too big for his britches. Daniel chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, you'll see the proclamation of King Nebuchadnezzar, who was, in man's term, successful. You know what? You want success in your life, you do God's will and do it. You find God's will and you do it, I should say. That's what God's success, that's what true success is. When you find the will of God in your life, that is success. Man has a whole different terminology what success is. Man's success is things. Man's success is possessions. Man's success is trying to find and get everything that they can get on this earth. And again, I say, may I remind you, I'm not against having some things. I'm not against having perhaps some nice possessions and a nice home. But the truth of the matter is, when we go ahead and place our possessions before God, that's where pride sets in, and that's where God is simply removed from his rightful place. But now in Daniel chapter 4, you will see Nebuchadnezzar, he is proclaiming God. Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to just read it real quick. The king unto all the people, nations, and languages, he was a powerful man, as we talked about, that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good, the king says, to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great, this is the king talking now, how greater is signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. The king, why is it now that he's lifting God up? If we read on here, it talks about a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and the dream really troubled him. He called all the psychologists, if you will, of the day. He called in the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers to come in and try to interpret this dream. You'll see that dream in verses 4 through, right on down to verse 18. He had called all these guys, if you will, the modern-day psychologists of that day, to come in and try to help him interpret this dream. They couldn't answer him. They couldn't interpret it for him. Even the highly educated could not go ahead and help this powerful king. So Nebuchadnezzar uses his last resort. He goes to the last resort. He calls in Daniel, or Belteshazzar here, the man of God. You know, the man of God. Daniel, we know the works of Daniel. You know how he purposed himself to go ahead and not defile himself. He purposed himself to serve God. We know the story of how he took a stand for Jesus all through the book of Daniel. But Nebuchadnezzar, he goes ahead and he calls his last resort. He was troubled and he was sick, if you will, of this dream that he dreamed that he wanted interpreted. He didn't know what it meant, so he called in the man of God. Let me just stop and say this. You know, when you get to a point where you just don't know what to do, don't you act on it by yourself. Don't you go ahead and try to figure it out yourself. Sometimes, you know, there are things that perhaps you can figure out through that book right there. And if you would go ahead and diligently walk with God and acknowledge God and give God his rightful place every day, he'll teach you and he'll give you some of the answers that you need. But you know what? There are times when things build up and you get to a point where you just don't know what to do. You know, and that's what Nebuchadnezzar did. You know what? And oftentimes when you get to that point, just like Nebuchadnezzar did, he went ahead and he searched for every other person's advice, if you will, but he failed to go to the man of God. But it was not until he couldn't get it figured out, it was not until these psychologists or these men of the day, these educated and highly trained men of the day, they couldn't help Nebuchadnezzar. So finally, the light bulb turned on and said, you know what? I need to go to the man of God. There's something about Belteshazzar or Daniel. There's something about him. He is a man of God. I'm going to go ahead and call him in. And of course, the Bible says that he tells Daniel about that dream. In Daniel chapter 10, I'm going to read a few verses. Thus, this is the dream that he had. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. This tree is likened to the king right now, okay? The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof was reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair. This was a beautiful tree, a strong tree, okay? And the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field and shadow under it, and the fowls of heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down, likening Jesus, if you will, God, came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, thus, hold down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off the leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with beasts and in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the Holy Ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now, O Belteshazzar, declare this interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of the kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy God is in thee. Now here was Nebuchadnezzar. He was troubled. None of the wise men of the kingdom could go ahead and help him, but he went to the man of God. And the Bible goes on to say there that Daniel, when he heard this dream, he was astonished. For about 1 hour, he sat there. He was astonished. He couldn't believe what he heard. And of course, the interpretation was basically that Nebuchadnezzar, you've gotten too big for God. I'm ad-libbing here, but if you go ahead and read on, this is what Daniel basically said. You have gotten too big for God. You have become too strong. Your kingdom has exceeded to heaven, and you've gotten to a point where you don't need God. You've gotten to a point where everybody's following you. Hey, Nebuchadnezzar, you have power, but this is what's going to happen. The Holy One of God is going to come down, and he says, hold down that tree, cut it down, and destroy it, and just leave the stump, the Bible says. And what happened was Nebuchadnezzar, he was so prideful. He got to a point where it's all about him. And God said, hey, we cannot have that. If you really, really, really want to be used, Nebuchadnezzar, if you really want to have the blessing upon your life, it's not based on the things that you have, Nebuchadnezzar. It is based upon what I can give you. And God, seeing how he is a jealous God, he says, hold that tree down. Cut it down. And there are times you wonder, why is it, preacher, that I'm going through it? Maybe there's some things in your life that God says, hey, we need to go ahead and prune that tree, if you will. We need to go ahead and cut that tree, if you will. We need to cut off some of these branches. You're getting a little bit too mighty. You see, there was a time that you walked with God. There was a time that you prayed and you followed the Almighty. There was a time that perhaps you were faithful to the church house and you read the Bible. And there was times that you would maybe lead in family devotions. There are times that you just simply acknowledged God in your everyday walk. But somewhere somewhere along the way, maybe things got in the way. Maybe somewhere along the way, you have gotten to a height, if you will, that maybe you've arrived. And let me just remind you, you get to that point, you put yourself in a very dangerous position. Don't ever get to a point where you think, man, I have become somebody. Hey, let me say that my friend David, who was a king as well, he went out and he looked at the sun, moon, and stars, and he said, man, I am a nobody. God, you are somebody great. You have given me the creation, this beautiful stars. You've given me so much. Oh, God, you are a great God. But somewhere along the way, people, somewhere along the way, we Christian people, we people that know Jesus as our personal Savior, if we're not careful, pride will set in. If we're not careful, we get kind of puffed up. If we're not careful, we'll kind of get to a point where, you know what, I can figure things out in my own life. I don't need the preacher. I don't need church. I don't need the Word of God. The truth of the matter is, my friend, that's the devil trying to lie to you, saying you don't need church. That's the devil trying to lie to you that you don't need the Word of God. That's the devil trying to whisper in your ear, hey, stay away from the church house. Stay away from the crowd that lifts up Christ. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to get so prideful and get so strong in yourself that God says, hold it. Hold it. The Bible teaches right here that he comes down and he has a right. When we go ahead and we move God out of our rightful place, I think that's what's happening in America today. God one time was right here. Boy, the revivals of the days of old. Oh, how to go back. Oh, how I long to go back to them days. But I think to some degree that's what's happened in America today. You know what? A nation that once lifted up Christ, a nation that once went ahead and opened up the Word of God, a nation where men of God would just go ahead and wax eloquently and without apology say, thus saith the Lord, a nation that once took the Bible and preached it, a nation that once loved the Word of God, a nation that was concerned for the lost souls of men, but you become successful, if you will. We're in the land of plenty. Why is it that missionaries can go ahead and go to these other countries like China that was once closed and go to these other countries like Africa and all these different places? You know what? Because they've not gotten to a point where they're in the land of plenty. They've not gotten to a point where they've arrived, if you will. And boy, when they are cut down or when they are down here, it is so much easier to go ahead and show them the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's so much easier to go ahead and show them how to be saved simply because they really have nothing. Why is it that it's easier to go ahead and lead a little child to Christ than it is someone that's been around a while, an adult? Simply because they've not gotten to that point. If you will, that's why I'm big on children's ministries. That's why I'm so big on trying to reach the heart of a child, if you will, to try to reach them when they're young with this book. Because as you get older and older and older, we become calloused. We become hard, if you will. The truth of the matter is, we get to a point like Nebuchadnezzar. He got to that point that he was so strong and he was so mighty, and his kingdom was looking up to him as God. Sounds like another person, Lucifer. In Isaiah chapter 14, he says, I'll be like the Most High. I'll be as God. And the truth of the matter is, what did God did? Hey, I'm going to cut you down, Lucifer. And the truth is, you say, oh, preacher, why is it that I'm sometimes in this low position? Why is it that I'm sometimes down here? Could it be, and I ask you to search your heart this morning, but could it be that God's just trying to weed away some things that is keeping you from being what he wants you to be? Could that be? Could it be that maybe a little pride has set in? Could it be that you've kind of got filled up with self, if you will? Hey, what I'm trying to say today, if God wants to go ahead and cut off the branches, yes, it does hurt. He may have to take out the pruning knife. He may go ahead and have to do some cutting. And you say, well, preacher, God, that hurts. But go ahead and let him do it. Because let me tell you something. Once you go ahead and let him form you and make you and let him cause you to be what he wants you to be, let me tell you something. Boy, some good things will happen. God will bless your life. But when we go ahead and get so high and mighty, when we get so, go ahead and get so proud that we get to a place where we don't need God, it will be then that God will come down and say, hey, let's cut this tree down. Nebuchadnezzar, he had this dream and he was troubled. The king spake and said, in verse number 30, the king said and spake, is not this great Babylon? After he heard the interpretation of that dream. I'll go ahead and move up to verse number 28. And all this came upon the king of Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty? Where is his majesty in that verse? Where is he talking about God in that verse? He says, I have built. Look at what I've done. I have built this kingdom, if you will, by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty. For while the word was in the king's mouth, as he was saying this, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee. This is what Daniel interpreted. I'm just reading what actually happened. Nebuchadnezzar heard it. He was warned by Daniel, hey, don't go ahead and, hey, listen, hey, you can go ahead and stop now. You can start cutting yourself down and humbling yourself before God. And he was warned. But he went ahead and went against the warning. And he said, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom, meaning the kingdom that you have built, Nebuchadnezzar, is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. Hey, you know what, King? You're going to be so broken down, honed down, that you know what? Men are going to be driven from you. Your power is going to be diminished. As a matter of fact, you're going to be as a beast of the field. You're going to be eating the grass of the field. That's what the Bible says right here. The same hour was the thing fully fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till the hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto the heaven. Hey, listen. Is that where you are this morning? Are you in that position? Maybe somewhere along the way. Yeah, you're saved. You know for sure you're on your way to heaven, but. And Sunday after Sunday, the very best your preacher can do, I'll cry out, thus saith the Lord, and I'll warn you, and I love you. And even if you are down there, if you will, in the beast, in the field, eating the grass, and as the beast, even if you're down here, I'm still going to go ahead and love you. I'm still going to go ahead and help you. I'm still going to go ahead and do everything I can for you. But the truth of the matter is, do you have to get to that point? Is this where you are this morning? Did God have to say, finally, hey, I've got to cut down. You've gotten too big. Hey, you used to go ahead and walk with me. You used to go ahead and talk with me. You used to come to church. You used to go ahead and serve me. But somewhere along the way, you've gotten too big. So I've got to go ahead and trim you out a little bit. I got to go ahead and cut you down. And maybe just like Nebuchadnezzar, to a point where you're eating the grass of the field, you become as a beast, if you will. And after a while, the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar, because of the honing and the humility that God had to go ahead and show Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says in verse number 34, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto the heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. What happened? Nebuchadnezzar had to get to the point where he had to lose himself. He had to get to the point where he had to be cut down so that he could actually recognize how good God is. May I ask you if that's where you are today? And you're down there maybe, if you will, in the pit, so to speak. Reminds me of the prodigal son. We know that story. The one that stayed home, but the one that left. Boy, God had to go ahead and take that boy and teach him some lessons and bring him literally down to where he was eating with the pigs. You know, oftentimes, hey, listen, I've seen this in Christian folks. You know what? You know what can go ahead and change your life? You know what can go ahead and change this church's life? I'm going to tell you this. It's by us every single day walking with him and allowing God to, and keeping God first place in our life. And if God wants to go ahead and weed away some things, there may be some things in your life. I don't know, but maybe you can pinpoint it. Maybe there's some things in life that you know aren't quite lined up with God. And maybe there's some things in your life that have lifted you up and you've become somebody. Hey, I encourage you, before God goes ahead and takes care of it, why don't you this morning decide, hey, you know what, God, I don't want this to happen to me. I don't want to get to a point where I'm so low that I'm discouraged. I don't want to get to a point where I'm way down eating, if you will, the grass of the field. God, I want to get my heart right. If there's things in my life, God, you can have it. The Bible says that, I'm going to go ahead and turn to it in 1 Corinthians 6. In 1 Corinthians 6, I'm going to read it. You don't need to turn to it. Verse number 19 and 20. I'm getting there. What know ye not that your body, this is talking about God, God owns you, the ownership of God in you. What know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. The Bible says that we're not our own. We are God's, for ye are bought with the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hey, don't let God get to a point where he has to perhaps maybe slap you around and put a little bit of fire in your life to go ahead and reprove you. Don't get to that point. Maybe you're on that way down today. Maybe you've been warned. I've done my best to go ahead and warn you. Why don't you go ahead and decide, hey, there's some things that it's not quite in line with God. I'm going to get it right today. But maybe that's where you are. But maybe he's already humbled you to that point. And you, just as Nebuchadnezzar, he says, then, at the end of days, I lifted up mine eyes. I can see him down there with the cattle, if you will, looking up and say, boy, I'm a nobody. God, I'm so sorry. You know, I was building my kingdom what I wanted. And God, I'm so sorry. God, you know, whatever you need to do, you just break it. Because I'm not my own. And I thank God today I'm not. I thank God that I don't have to go my way. I thank God that every step of the way that he's with me. And I thank God for that, the fact that he never leaves us or forsakes us. But let me ask you a question. Where are you today? Has pride set in? Well, I encourage you, why don't you get it right? Has pride set into a point where you've just become somebody? I don't need church 3 times a week. I don't need to read my Bible every day. I don't need to go ahead and pray every day. I don't need this. I don't. Yes, you do, my friend. Yes, you do. Let me just give you a few thoughts. Pride often gets in the way of allowing God to have his rightful place in your life, such as the case with the king here. God then sees a pride and see how puffed up we get. And then oftentimes he has to declare a time, let's cut it down. We've gotten too big. And oftentimes God has to bring us low for him to raise us back up. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. This is what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. And he will exalt you in due time. Nebuchadnezzar, his due time finally came. He realized, man, what, if I can say this due to lack of a better term, what an idiot I was. I should have gone ahead and from the first place, every single day, lifted Christ up. But pride, he became somebody. He loved the power. He loved the majesty. But God went ahead and honed him down. And then in due time, God went ahead and did something even better. God restored his kingdom, the Bible says, but a whole lot better than it was. And in due time, he will lift you up. You know, you say, preacher, man, I've been down there and I realize the mistakes I made, but when am I going to get back? In due time. Maybe God has gone ahead and humbled you, and you're humbled under the mighty hand of God, and you say, and you're down there saying, God, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And you know what? But in due time, he's going to lift you back up out of that miry clay. In due time, he will lift you back up. In due time, he'll set your feet back up on a mighty rock. In due time, he will go ahead and restore. The Bible says in James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. A little chorus with this verse. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher. And he will lift you up. You know what all God's looking for is just a little bit of humility. Humble yourselves. That's what Nebuchadnezzar, that's what had to happen to the king. And then when you're restored, God's going to go ahead and lift you up. But you know what? God will get the honor he deserves. The last verses of this chapter, I'll just read a couple verses here. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my Lord sought unto me. His kingdom was restored here. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he shall abase. God's going to go ahead and, if you will, have the last word. You want to lift yourself up higher, you up higher and higher and higher, he will abase. He will hold it down. And why don't you today just decide, okay, God, before I get to that, maybe you're here and you are every day, you're humble and you're humbled in his sight and you walk with God. Today, why don't you just decide, I'm going to continue to do it. Maybe there's some of you, you're on your way down, you're spiraling down and you wonder, what is it? Could it be God's trying to do a work and cutting away some things that, you know, I got to break it down a little bit. You've got a little bit above me. You've not let me go ahead and have the rule and the reign in your life. And when you do that, I can go ahead and build you up. If you let me go ahead and have the rule and the reign in your life, boy, I can go ahead and restore you and you'll be able to turn around and you will glorify me because of it. Nebuchadnezzar needed to be broke down because he became too big. Maybe when you look at your heart, I don't know what's in your heart today. I don't know what you're fighting today, but God does. And why don't you decide today? And sometimes you got to go ahead and just say, okay, God. You go alone and, okay, God, whatever you need to do. Because he has the right to do it. Whatever you need to do, God, whatever you need to cut out of my life, you cut it out. You know why? Because you are his. Whatever sin may be there, why don't you decide today, God, you know what it is that's got me out of whack and out of line. Whatever it is, God, why don't you decide to let him, why don't you let him take the pruning knife and say, okay, God, the Bible says that I'm yours. And I've been kind of withholding some things. And, you know, I said, I could have been kind of picky and choosy. God, you can have this, but not this, but not this, but not this. Why don't you decide today, hey, God, before it's too late, I'm going to let you have it all. I'm going to let you have it all. We sing it, take my life and let it be. We sing it. But do we mean it? Hey, what I'm trying to say, what the Bible's saying this morning, is we need to humble ourselves. Maybe you've got to come to a place. Maybe you're there today. You're just kind of right there and maybe high and mighty. You're at the height, if you will. You think you're at the height. You think you've arrived. Why don't you decide today, you know what, God? You do whatever you need to do. You do whatever. You cut out whatever needs to be cut out of my life. When I was, three, 4 years ago, I went to my preacher. I'd worked for him at that time, about probably 6 years, I'd say, at that time. Went to my pastor and sat down with him. I said, you know, preacher, I served you for 6 years, something like that, and the boy's been tremendous. I feel like, for some odd reason, God wanted me to be a preacher, pastor, take a pastorate of a church. And he just smiles, says, man, that's wonderful. Not because he wanted to see me leave or different things, but he says, man, Sean, that's wonderful. And I asked him, he's been around a while. I said, but before I delve into this, do you think I have what it takes? I needed to have that little bit of assurance. From another preacher, I needed to have that little bit of assurance. He says, oh, yeah. And, you know, I kind of got my resume and different things together. This was, like I said, about three or so years ago, and I kind of got things together and went through the proper procedure, and he helped me and different things. I had people pray, different things like that. But, you know, all during that time, I was working with in my ministries there, and boy, God was just blessing, and the teenagers, and just the things that I was doing that God allowed me to do, man, just things were going really, really well. I mean, just super, super, super. And so, you know, which caused me kind of to think, you know, this really isn't so bad. This really isn't so bad. God, you know, maybe you did lay it on my heart to pastor, but, you know, I'm pastoring and I'm an assistant pastor. I'm fine with this, God. You know, I got kind of to a point where, you know, this really isn't so bad. And I went ahead and I'll admit, I even before some of the struggle came a year or so ago, I kind of got to a point where, you know what, this is fine. You know, I had reached, you know, we were going higher, but, you know, I said it last week, I kind of reached the height of my ministry, if you will. I mean, I saw some great things. But of course, we know the story, and I'm not going to belabor it. My wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I remember, as many would when this type of stuff happens, why, God? I mean, things were great, things were wonderful, but why, God? And I'm going to just say this to be just a little personal. I think a lot of it was God was just trying to hone out the comfortability. I was comfortable. That's not bad, but I was very, I'm great where I'm at. And I believe this is a big portion of it. I believe God used or brought cancer into our home to get me to the point of being in his perfect will. Sounds pretty brutal, but you know what? God literally, I believe, had to take the honing knife. Say, hey, you know what, Sean? You got a little bit too comfortable. You got a little comfortable where you're at. You kind of become somebody, if you will, where you're at. And the truth of the matter is, through all the months of the chemo, you know, the story, I believe it was at that time, through that time, that to some degree, it came, that really brought me to the point of where I am now. Because I thought about it during them months of cancer with my wife and different things and what we saw and different things. I saw it and I asked God why, but I really believe that through it all, he showed me, he says, because you've gotten to a point where you've arrived. Yeah, you've peaked in your ministry. And again, if had I stayed there, would God have still blessed it? I'm sure he would have. But the truth of the matter is, Sean, I've got some bigger things for you to do. And I want you to be in my perfect will. And I believe that he had to get the knife out, if you will, to go ahead and cut away some things. And I allowed God, instead of pushing him away and kicking him like we do when we go through it, I allowed God to go ahead and just cut. Okay, God, that's what you need to do. Do it. It hurts. God, I see my wife. This hurts. The truth of the matter is, I believe, yes, it brought our family so much closer together. But I believe that in the long spectrum, in the long spear of things, if you will, it brought me to the point of where I am now. And I remember at an altar such as this, I said, okay, God, I won't go ahead and let my will get in the way anymore. Wherever you want to take me, I'll go ahead and follow. And sometimes church people listen, and I'm through. That's what God has to do once in a while. I don't know what it is. Will it be cancer? I hope not. Will it be whatever it is? Maybe you're going through it now. But it might be just God saying, hey, listen, you kind of got to that point of arrival, and I got to cut it out of you. I've got to bring it down so that I can go ahead and use you mightily and build you up and exalt you the way that you are to be exalted. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. And I sure do love this body of people here today. And I can't help but think maybe you may have the honing knife out on some of these dear people. I pray, God, that they'll allow you to do your perfect and your holy work on them to help make them be what you'd have them to be. Maybe there's someone here, God, they don't know for sure that if they were to die today, they'd go to heaven. Maybe you're working on their heart right now, Holy Spirit. They are lost. They don't know for sure that if something was to happen to them today, that heaven would be their eternal destiny. And I pray, dear God, that you'd work on their hearts. I pray that they may be saved before they leave the church house today. God, I don't know where some of these dear people are today, but you do. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to do what you will in the invitation. Maybe some need to come forward and say, okay, God, whatever you need to do, do it to help make me, to help bring me forth to be what you want me to be. Maybe there's others that just need to press a reset button. I don't know, but God, you, Holy Spirit, you do your work this morning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. The pianist is at the piano. She's going to go ahead and play a hymn of invitation. I don't know what God's spoken to you about, but maybe he's got the pruning knife out this morning. Let him do his perfect work. Why don't you decide, okay, God, here I am. Whatever you need to do. You just decide, you know what? You belong to God. Why don't you decide, hey, God, okay, here I am. I've kind of withdrawn myself from you. Maybe you're here today, you say, Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I don't want to go to that place called hell. I want to know for sure that eternal life is going to be heaven for me. Why don't you decide this morning, come forward and I'll shake your hand and I'll show you from the Bible how you could be saved. I surrender all. Why don't you just decide, give it over.